It's hard for us to imagine, but the world has not always been like it is right now. Before time began, before even space existed, there was nothing. Nothing except God alone. There was no sun, no moon, no stars. There wasn't even planet Earth. There was no universe at all.
Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning one day.
In an instant, God spoke, and the universe began to take shape. The formless void of the world was changed as God's creative act on the first day of creation was to make light. We take light for granted, but without light, there can be no life. On the fourth day of creation, God formed the sun and the moon and the stars, making light to come to earth, creating time as we know it, and seasons, and tide changes, and photosynthesis. Without the light of the sun, there's no heat, there's no plants, and no animals.
Genesis 1, 26 to 31. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him, male and female he created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." Then God said, "Behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the surface of all the earth, and every tree which has fruit yielding seed. It shall be food for you. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the sky, and to everything that moves on the earth which has life, I have given every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw all that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day.
Once the light of earth was established, God created man and woman and made them in his image. Since the creation, mankind has had God's likeness stamped upon every person that has ever lived. Each human has a spirit that will live on eternally, just as God is spirit. The initial created humans, Adam and Eve, lived in a perfect environment in the Garden of Eden. The husband and the wife were in a paradise that God had created just for them. However, that paradise was short-lived as the first couple disobeyed God.
Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 15. Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Indeed, has God said, 'You shall not eat from any tree of the garden?' The woman said to the serpent, 'From the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat, but from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, You shall not eat from it or touch it, or you will die.' The serpent said to the woman, 'You surely will not die, for God knows that in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.' When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from it its fruit and ate. And she gave also to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loin coverings. They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to the man and said to him, 'Where are you?' He said, I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself. And God said, who told you you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you not to eat? The man said, the woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me from the tree, and I ate. Then the Lord God said to the woman, what is this you have done? And the woman said, the serpent deceived me, and I ate. The Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, cursed are you more than all cattle, and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you will go, and dust you will eat all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise you on the head, and you shall bruise him on the heel.
Safety, the protection, the simplicity of life, the perfection of creation was broken in an instant. Sin entered the world, and with it shame came along as Adam and Eve realized what they had done. They hid from God in embarrassment, hoping he would not know or discover what they had done. Adam and Eve blamed each other. Adam even tried to blame God, saying, the woman whom you gave me, she gave me the fruit of the tree. God not only knew what they had done, but he also began to reveal his plan to deal with their sin and the sin of the whole world that would follow them. God's plan was one day that the offspring of a woman would crush the serpent on the head, dealing him a blow to his plan to ravage the world with sin. Here we see the beginning of God's revealed plan to thwart the serpent's schemes against mankind.
Genesis 12:1-3. Now the Lord said to Abram, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you, and I will make you a great nation. And I will bless you and make you a great name great. And so you shall be blessed, and I will bless those who bless you. And the one who curses you, I will curse. And in you all the family of the earth will be blessed.
The offspring that God spoke about in Genesis 3 would come from a descendant of Abram. The descendant would be the greatest blessing ever conceived, as he would bless the entire world. Abram, God would later change his name to Abraham, would be the father of a great nation to be known as Israel. What began with Abraham and his wife Sarah grew through their son Isaac, his son Jacob, and his son Joseph, to a people group numbering in the millions in only a few hundred years. These descendants of Abraham were forced into slavery in the country of Egypt, and it seemed like God's promise to Abraham was lost and forgotten. The people of God's promise were enslaved for over 400 years under the brutal tyranny and rule of Pharaoh. Yet God is always faithful and always, always, always keeps his promises. He raised up a man named Moses who would take God's people from slavery and lead them away from Egypt to the land that God promised them. To show the people that God was with them, he gave them a daily sign of his presence with them as they traveled on their long journey from Egypt to the land of Canaan, what we know today as the land of Israel.
Exodus chapter 13, verse 21. The Lord was going before them in a pillar of cloud by day to lead them on the way, and in a pillar of fire by night to give them light, that they might travel by day and by night.
God provided light as a way to guide his people. The pillar of fire lit the way and was a constant reminder that just as God had delivered them from slavery, so too would he guide them to realize the promise he made to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob. The light of fire comforted the people and showed them that God would be with them wherever they went. As the nation of Israel journeyed from Egypt, he commanded them to make a golden lampstand and to place the lampstand in the tabernacle, the place where God's people gathered to worship him.
Exodus 25, verses 31 through 40. Then you shall make a lampstand of pure gold. The lampstand and its base and its shaft are to be made of hammered work. Its cups, its bulbs, its flowers shall be made one piece with it. Six branches shall go out from its sides. Three branches of the lampstand from one side, and three branches of the lampstand from its other side. Three cups shall be shaped like almond blossoms in one branch, a bulb and a flower, and three cups shaped like almond blossoms in the other branch, a bulb and a flower. So for six branches going out from the lampstand. And in the lampstand, four cups shaped like almond blossoms, its bulbs and its flowers. A bulb shall be under the first pair of branches coming out of it, and a bulb under the second pair of branches coming out of it, and a bulb under the third pair of branches coming out of it, for the six branches coming out of the lampstand. Their bulbs and their branches shall be one piece with it. All of it shall be one piece of hammered work of pure gold. Then you shall make its lamps seven in number, and they shall mount its lamps so as to shed light on the space in front of it. Its snuffers and their trays shall be of pure gold. It shall be made from a talent of pure gold with all these utensils. See that you make them after the pattern for them, which was shown to you on the mountain.
As God's people gathered to worship him at the tabernacle, the lampstand with its seven branches, each lit with a wick and oil, was to burn continually before the people, reminding Israel of God's presence with them. This light, in both good times and in bad times, would reassure Israel that the Lord was with them. In 40 years, Israel would settle into the land that God had promised Abraham, and there they would live for 700 years. Yet despite God's numerous miracles before the people, despite his ongoing presence with them as symbolized by the light of the lampstand, despite his glory permeating the tabernacle and later the temple, the people of God and the descendants of Abraham would rebel against God just as Adam and Eve had disobeyed his commands. They turned their backs on the Lord who had made them a great and prosperous nation. And so the Lord handed them over to their enemies.
2 Kings 17:5-6. Then the king of Assyria invaded the whole land and went up to Samaria and besieged it 3 years. In the 9th year of Hoshea, the king of Assyria captured Samaria and carried Israel away into exile to Assyria and settled them in Hala and Habor on the river of Gozan in the cities of the Medes.
Defeated, the northern tribes of the nation of Israel were taken into captivity and enslaved by the brutal Assyrians. Yet God was working, even in the midst of a disobedient people. He raised up a prophet named Isaiah and put his words into Isaiah's mouth and into Isaiah's pen. He wrote,
from Isaiah 9, 2, verses 5, 6, and 7. The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. Those who live in a dark land, the light will shine on them. For every boot of the booted warrior in the battle tumult and cloak rolled in blood will be for burning, fuel for the fire. For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this.
Israel had hope once again, hope that the enslaved people would one day be liberated by the promised one who will walk in great light. Isaiah promised that his light would shine upon them and that this child that was promised would rule and reign forever. Israel had to cling to this hope for another 700 years until what Isaiah promised would come to pass.
John 1:1-4. In the beginning was the Word, And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has not come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men.
The Apostle John wrote that the light of the world has come, and that all things came by and through him. He was there at the beginning of creation. He left his home in heaven to come to earth to bring God's light to his people. The Savior, the Messiah, the promised one, had finally come, fulfilling God's promises.
John chapter 8, verses 12. Then Jesus again spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life.
As Jesus came, his mission was to spread the news that he came from heaven to dispel the darkness of sin. He would provide the way for all who believe in him to have hope and promise of life in heaven. No longer would mankind need to bear the weight of individual sin, but rather would be set free by the Son of God. His light would shine as a beacon around the world, showing God's presence to all. The Apostle John saw and witnessed God's Son live. He saw God's Son die and rise again from the dead. He saw Jesus the Christ fulfill God's promises to crush the serpent's schemes under his feet.
1 John chapter 1, verses 5, 6, and 7. This is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin.
The sin of Adam, the sin of Eve, and every person in this world finally had a remedy. God made the way for all sin to be cleansed through his Son. No longer would any person need to live under the penalty of sin, because God's own Son would provide forgiveness of sins by and through his blood that was shed. God has shown his light for all the world to see.
2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. For God, who said, light shall shine out of the darkness, is the one who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ.
When God created the universe, he made light out of nothing to disperse the darkness. So God brings light to the hearts of men and women whose lives have been darkened by sin. The Apostle Paul literally had this experience as he personally met the Lord Jesus on his way to the city of Damascus. In Acts chapter 9, verse 3, it is recorded that a light from heaven flashed around him. As Jesus met Paul, his life was instantly changed. The light of the world shined upon sinful Paul, and he became a new man. In much the same way, God's light shines today upon mankind. Those who believe in Jesus Christ have the darkness of sin removed and replaced with knowing the Savior who brings light to all who trust in him. For a time, the light of this world, Jesus, was shining bright. But now he's ascended back to heaven from where he originally came. While he was here, he gave instructions to his followers.
Matthew 5:14-16. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven.
God's desire is that all who follow his Son take the message of his coming to earth as a child to the entire world. He commanded that we let our lights shine for him so that the world can see him through us. for the time we are here, whether we're given 20 years or 90 years, we take the message of Jesus to everyone in the world, every man, every woman, every child, every youth have and do sin. Sin is simply disobeying what God has commanded us to do. Sin can be by thoughts, can be by words, can be actions. Anytime we fail to do what God has commanded us to do, we sin. The Bible teaches the penalty of sin is death. But the great news of this Christmas season is that God has provided forgiveness of sin through the Savior of the world that has come. His advent fulfilled God's promises in the Old Testament, specifically the ones we've read tonight in Genesis and Isaiah. Friends, tonight, if you've not trusted Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins and believe in him to give you eternal life in heaven, then I urge you to do that tonight. You can receive no greater present this Christmas season than to know you've been forgiven of your sins and you have the guarantee of a home of eternal life in heaven with God. The place of heaven is described for us in the book of Revelation.
Revelation 22, verse 5. And there will no longer be any night, and they will have not need of the light of the lamp, nor the light of the sun, because the Lord God will illumine them, and they will reign forever and ever.